Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Welcome to a special announcement from PR After Hours, your go-to podcast for all things public relations and marketing. We are thrilled to share some exciting news. PR After Hours has been recognized as one of the best in the business. We've been ranked number 18 in the prestigious FeedSpot 70 Best PR Podcast list for 2024. That's right, we're among the 70 best PR podcasts worth listening to this year. But wait, there's more. We've also been named a top 15 PR podcast by Refonic. We're honored to be acknowledged by such respected platforms in the industry. And of course, we couldn't do it without you. A huge thank you to our amazing listeners and sponsors for your continuous support. Your engagement and feedback fuel our passion for delivering insightful, engaging content each episode. So, raise a glass here in the virtual lounge and join us in celebrating, well, what we think is a pretty nice achievement. Stay tuned for more intriguing conversations, expert insights, and all the latest trends in public relations and marketing only on PR After Hours. Tell the truth. Are you stuck in your business? Feel like you hit a wall? What does that even mean, right? Well, you're going to find out today as we meet Heather Kernahan, the global CEO of Hotwire, a leading technology communications and marketing consultancy known for working with some of the most notable tech companies worldwide. With more than two decades of experience in the tech industry, Heather has harnessed her vast knowledge and insights to develop the Unstuck Model, a revolutionary framework designed to help businesses and individuals never feel stuck again. Her new book, Unstuckable, is not just a guide, it's a call to action for anyone looking to create their own path, set ambitious goals, and celebrate every win along the way. From goal setting to implementing the Unstuck Model and drawing lessons from real-world tech company scenarios, Heather's going to offer some invaluable advice, not just from the book, but right here on the show for navigating the complexities of today's world. So let's dive into a conversation that promises to be as enlightening as it is inspiring. I hope you can stick around as we welcome Heather Kernahan to the virtual lounge. Heather, welcome.
Woo! That's a great opener. Be unstuck. I love it. Thank you all. Very happy to talk today.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. Yeah, I'm going to jump right in though. I've heard about Hotwire forever. Can you just give everybody the elevator speech? What's Hotwire?
Yeah, we are a global marketing and communications consultancy working with tech and innovation companies. We help them build their reputations. We help them manage and build relationships, and we help them deliver revenue for their businesses.
And how long has this been going on?
Oh, since 2000. So Hotwire is almost 25 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah. Man. Been around for a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, that's great. Heather, your career, it really is a testament to the power of goal setting and vision. And could you share how setting ambitious goals has shaped your personal journey? And how do you encourage others to act bigger than they feel?
Yeah, good questions. I would say when I was starting out in my career, I had no goals. I didn't know what ambition was, really. I wasn't born this way. I got my very first job in tech by accident. I applied for a job at a web development company as a marketing coordinator. I got hired, I'm not sure how. And after I'd been there for about 6 months, I had this performance review with my boss. And he said, hey, there's about 10 different ways we look at performance here. You're failing in 9 of them. You can't write, you're not organized, you're on the edge of being fired. And I was shocked. And he said, we only want people working here that are in the top 10% of their profession. So if that's where you want to be, you can hang around and get there. But if that's not for you, and it's okay if it's not, because 90% of the people don't want to be in the top 10%, this job isn't for you and let's move you on. So I went home over the weekend and I cried a lot and just thought about, like, I don't even know what goals are. I don't know what ambition looks like. And I came back in on Monday and I said to him, I don't know what it means, but I want to be in the top 10%. That feels right. And he said, here are 30 days of Tony Robbins CDs, the performance coach, every night I want you to listen to one of them, and then let's talk about the lessons you took away from it. And that for me was the beginning of understanding how to set a goal, what it means to work at an extraordinary level, and what ambition was and how I actually had it in me and I could activate it.
Oh my gosh, Tony Robbins, huh? Wow.
Uh-huh.
the Shallow Hal guy. Remember the movie?
That's right. Oh, I love Shallow Hal movie. Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's like,
it is.
But that says so much about you though, that yeah, you felt terrible and you went home, as you said, and you cried. And we all do, folks. And anybody who says they don't, well, I'll leave it there. You think what you want to think about people who say they don't cry. Whatevs. So you did it. But then you came back and you said, this is not that person who you talked to last week is not who I am. Or that is who I am. But the person I want to be is who you're going to want to keep. And that's what happened. Sometimes I've found that there are kind of what I like to call tough love moments in business where that kind of weeds out that 90% who don't really want it that bad. Do you feel like that was part of what he was up to a little bit?
I think he was testing me. I think looking back, I probably was not doing a great job in a lot of the areas, but I wasn't doing as terribly as he said I was. And he was just seeing like what's she made out of. And I didn't appreciate it then. I do appreciate it now. And I talk a lot about that story because we often see people who have a book or have a certain job title or whatever it is. And there is a lot of failure on the way to being the success you want to be and having the goals achieved that you want. And I started out, you know, almost getting fired from my first job.
Yeah. Do you think though that, that people fear failure too much?
Yes. I even still fear failure today, I would say. There's lots of moments every single month that I'm working through where I'm nervous about a situation. What happens if this goes wrong? Am I making the right decision? And I think over time, you just build some tools to assess what the risk is around the fear. And that's part of being unstuck too, is being able to get out of the swirl of your own mind, you know, the loops we get in, the doom loops around what if this happens? What if this happens? It's so paralyzing. And our business world is full of lots of things to doom loop on right now. But what I saw is like, you just really, you cannot get stuck today if you want to achieve things in life. So you've got to have some tools to help you move through it.
Yeah. I've had my own PR consultancy for 14 years and I'm here to tell you, I've been stuck a lot of times. And where was this book when I needed you, Heather? But it's okay. It's here now.
For the next time.
So I appreciate you doing this. So the Unstuck model, let's get into that a little bit. It's central to your new book and of course your philosophy, and it represents a rather unique approach in overcoming business stagnation. Could tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was created when I was going through a tough time at my job. I was working inside a very big tech company who had been acquired, and I was on my way to meet the new owners of the business. So I was sitting on a plane, and literally I remember, Alex, my knees shaking on the plane thinking about, because I'm Canadian, so I was living in Canada and I was flying to San Francisco. And so as a Canadian, you know, I already had the, you know, they know a lot more than me mentality. And I had a new baby girl at home. My husband was staying at home with our daughter. And I thought, it's all on me. And whatever happens this week, it's on me. So my knees were shaking. I was a little sweaty. And I just started to write down in my book, what are all of the ideas and values that I have and what's valuable about me. And I started to play with this model of, okay, well, the first thing I need to do is just understand who I am, what I value, and where I'm headed in life. And that was the early formation of the Unstuck model. And I used some of those tools that week in those meetings, which were successful. And then as I spent more time in the tech industry, I just started refining the Unstuck model, bringing in more stories from tech leaders that I meet from all over the world.
Is the tech industry, I mean, and again, I know this is where you make your living and this is what your clients, but is it radically different than other industries as far as you know, and how these things are approached?
Yeah. When I talk to people who do not work in tech and we talk about the differences between the two, what comes up over and over again in those conversations is the always moving forward mindset, you know, the constant innovation, the relentlessness, the pace. Some people see that as quite negative in the tech industry, and grueling or grinding or words like that. But I always saw it as, okay, every day I can get up and I can start again. I can do something different. I can make a change. It's never done. I'm never done. This industry is going to change every single day. And that has felt different than other colleagues I have in different industries that will talk about, you know, legacy thinking or stagnation or change doesn't happen very quickly in their industries.
Do you feel, though, that because we are kind of in this age where a lot of the tech leaders are kind of semi-worshipped by people. And you remember when the Steve Jobs biography came out, and I mean, everybody I knew was reading it, even here in little old Kansas City, everybody was reading it and thinking about it. And I think everybody was starting to try to find, well, in what ways am I like Steve Jobs? And I just wonder if that was really the approach they should have taken. I was a little repulsed by him, to be honest. I just have to say. So I'm just curious, though, about that mindset, because it's more than just a business mindset, in my opinion. It's almost like a lifestyle thing. Am I crazy? I don't know. I don't want to like get you in trouble with your clients. I'm just saying it just seems so, I don't know, but see what you can make of that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking of one thing. Maybe we'll talk after. the whole tech industry, and sometimes it's tough for me to have perspective because it's the only industry I've worked in for 25 years. So I've been deep into tech in Canada first, and then the last 20 years in the Bay Area. That's where I live. And very happy to be here in the center of tech all over the world. What I think is interesting is that tech has moved into lots of other industries over the past decade. So every company wants to be a tech company is often what the media are reporting on. And so I think there is something about the mindset, but the business model of tech, but there is also the mindset of optimism and positivity and moving forward and trying new things and not being so scared to fail. That is the good side of it. There are lots of problems in tech today. You know, we're seeing tech CEOs reporting out on how they're keeping children safe online. There's disinformation, regulatory issues. There's a lot of problems to handle still, but there are also the good sides of tech that I think anybody can adopt and as they'd like. You know, it doesn't have to be wholeheartedly. You don't have to try to be Steve Jobs, but if you're working on how do you overcome a fear of failure, or how do you start to try more ideas in your everyday business instead of just freezing, then you can take some of the ideas.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Is there a real world scenario where the unstuck model, these principles from your book, works in the tech industry that maybe you can illustrate a little bit for us?
Yeah, well, I'll give some context to the unstuck model. So with unstuck, there's every letter is one part of the model. So the first one is understand where you want to be. That's really important. And tech companies spend a lot of time thinking about what their vision is, so like having a really big vision of the future that stretches out years. And some tech leaders have a vision that's 50 years, you know, 50 years from now, this is what the world's going to look like. New thinking is the end part of it. Different models of thinking and thinking on purpose in your business, not just using critical thinking or strategic thinking, but tech industry uses lots of different thinking. One that's interesting and has gained some ground over the past few years are short-term tentative goals. So this is the idea that you can have goals in your business that you want to achieve, but you can have a little more flexibility in how you're going to achieve them or the timeframe in which you're going to achieve them. That can often free up your mind. T is my favorite part, think and act big in the model. Maybe we can talk about that in a little bit. Unusual moves is the U, and creating new is the C, and K is the keep going. So each of those parts of the model have different stories associated with them about leaders, or stories from my career that I brought in to talk about how you use tools in that section to keep going.
Yeah. So again, it's with that, anybody, doesn't matter. You don't have to necessarily be in tech to apply these to your life. That's the whole point, in your life and your career. Yeah. I liked that act bigger than you are mode. I've done it my whole career because I bootstrapped this business. And while I've fluctuated with staff at times, you know, one time I had six people, another time it's just me. But I never acted like I was anything bigger than my ambition. And I don't know if that sounds weird, but it doesn't mean, listeners, that we're lying to ourselves or to other people, but, you know, people want to work with people who are winning. People want to work with people who are confident. People want to work. And when I say people, I mean clients want that. If I kind of came in and said, well, I'm just this, you know, one man band here. I don't think you want to hire me. You know, it's not what I would have said, but if I had that attitude, right, I think that would have had a lot of it. How much of that since you did note that we could chat about that part, how much of that is, how important is that as far as you're concerned?
Oh, I think and act big is out of the whole model. I don't know. They're all my favorite. This is really my favorite though. And it's the one people respond most to when I talk about the unstuck model. Mm-hmm. I think thinking big, there's a lot of hesitancy in general to do that for a lot of reasons. And being Canadian, I was always very hesitant to, you know, think too big for about myself. And then the acting big, because a lot of people do hold themselves back from doing things that they are excited about because they're not sure how to act big, or they might be perceived a certain way. So that, out of them all, that is the one I think people can take the quickest action on to make a change in their life. And I love that you said you always thought big, and I completely agree with you. Leaders want to work for leaders. That's whether you're hiring someone to work in a franchise role you have open, or if you're hiring someone who's a waiter or waitress at a restaurant or airlines, it doesn't matter the industry. People who are leaders themselves want to work for people who inspire them, who are showing them something bigger than they are today. And it's really important to keep moving forward to do that, to think and act big.
I think so too. And I've had to kind of talk to you. I've had interns for years, and I've spoken to young people in particular about this. And I had a very pointed question, and it was, well, you know, you seem very accomplished, this, that, and the other, but what they were really trying to get at, I don't remember the exact wording, but it was, the basic point was, well, you're not rich.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, well, how come, you know, you just live in the suburbs and you don't seem to drive it? I saw your car. It's okay. You know, I'm just like, well, because that's not what's important to me, you know?
Right.
But I mean, do people do that though? They make assumptions about success and about this, right? That,
yeah.
That it's got to be equitable to financial gain.
Right.
I just, Heather, and maybe that makes me a loser in some people's eyes, I just don't give a damn about that. And I'm just curious if you've heard
of this. You understand where you want to be, which is the you in Unstuck. Like, and in the book, I have a list of values. There's a values exercise in there. And I didn't even know, Alex, what my values were until I was in my early 30s. Nobody talked to me about it. I kind of knew what was important, but I never sat down and wrote, like, circled a list of words that were my values.
Right.
And when I finally did it, that was the turning point for me in having the confidence in my own decisions and what I was doing. And I was no longer worried about what people thought, what anyone said to me, whether someone thought I was making a good decision or not, because they weren't me and they didn't have my values. And that's why I wanted to have that as the first exercise in the book, for exactly what the reason you're saying. You really have to have the confidence in knowing, what are you doing? So that, who cares if someone says, oh, you don't have a nice car or whatever, you know, well, you don't know what's going on for me. You don't know what my values are. You don't know what where I'm headed, but I know. And that's the most important thing to me in being able to move forward.
Yeah, every year for my company, I'll add another point to a little talk I'm offering people or I write about. And it's 14 things I've learned in 14 years in business. And I'm telling you, half of them, I'm kicking myself in the teeth that that's possible, telling you dumb things I've done and mistakes I've made. But you know, one of the things I always tell people, one thing I learned was I made the right decision, because my daughter's 15 now. Mm-hmm. And 14 years ago, I started this business. I walked away from vice presidency of a television station here in town. I mean, I was on the way up in a lot of ways, but
yeah.
I wanted flexibility, Heather.
Yeah.
I wanted to be around for my kid. I wanted to see her, and I wanted to go pick her up from daycare. That was my value. Getting her a cake pop at Starbucks,
yes.
You know,
yes.
that's what I, and chocolate milk. And that's what I wanted. And that's what I got. And now I'm getting ready to make a big change in my career. We're not here to talk about me, but I'm just trying to bring this out to you.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know what? She's 15. She's doing what they're supposed to do at that age, starting to pull away. And,
yes.
And I'm proud of her and I love her, but it's time for me to go do something else. I'm getting ready to do that. And my listeners, by the way, if you haven't heard yet, I'll tell you later, not on this show. Heather's like, please, Alex, I'm not
no,
your therapist.
I'm curious.
Oh no, but I assure you, I won't be rich. I'll put it that way. So, but that those are my values. My family is my values, because
yeah.
That's my legacy. I've written 10 books, but my legacy are not those books. It's that kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised, Heather. I've read up on you and I'm delighted to meet you and enjoy this. But I love that the values are what you're leading off with. This is what you care about. And this is what you say at first, the first thing. I really appreciate that.
It is the very first thing. Yes. Because, and I've learned this from the tech industry, not every tech company has values, but they will think about who they want to be in the world, and then they usually have a laser focus on that vision for themselves. And it doesn't matter what media say or competitors say or anybody says, right? They're on that value and they're on that vision mission. And that can be true for every single person in the world too. You should know what your values are, what your vision is, and then operate against that. And I think, you know, everyone will be 50% happier and maybe have a lot less swirl going on in their brain when they know exactly who they are.
Yeah, it seems great, and you are ultra successful, and you seem very down to earth, and maybe it's your Canadianness. I'm not sure.
Maybe it
You
is.
know, one of my closest friends is from Regina, Saskatchewan. I don't think you're from there, but you're on one of the coasts, I imagine. But it, yeah,
I am. Yeah, the
yeah.
East Coast. I grew up in Nova Scotia. I don't even know if you've heard of it. That's a
Course, I've
province.
heard of Nova Scotia. Are you kidding? I was gonna say Prince Edward, but all right.
Yeah, grew up in Nova Scotia and a little small town there and very, very proud to be Canadian.
Oh my goodness, I love that. Nova Scotia. You may be my first actual Nova Scotian. No, that's right.
That
But
you
anyway,
interviewed. Here we are.
there you go, right there. So Heather, the last couple of questions here. I know we got to go here, but how long did it take you to write this book?
3 years.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Can I tell you a little story about it?
I'd love to hear a story about it.
Okay. So, fall of 2020, I'm messed up like everybody else. I'm talking to a whole bunch of clients on Zoom, and in 1 week, three of them tell me they have book projects that they're doing. I was like my jaw on the floor. How were they even getting them done because of everything that was going on? And they all told me some version of this is part of my long-term plan. And just because the world has gone nuts doesn't mean I veer from my long-term plans, which was incredibly impressive. The three of these people happen to be men. So in my business, which is also a, you know, communications and marketing consultancy, we are often helping our clients pick people to be on stage, to be at events, you know, be spokespeople or putting people in front of the media. And what I realized was there were probably 85% of the business books out there are written by men. So it was kind of tough to find business books written by women, even though I was working really hard at it. So I was like, ah, these men I know are prioritizing the book. And I need more women writing business books because we need more diverse voices in the public arena. I need more women writing business books. And my husband turned around and said, well, you better write a book first if you're going to get other people to do it. And I was like, damn it, you're right. So there we go. The book launch, you know, that's when I started the fall of 2020, and it came out last fall.
Oh man, are you an please don't misunderstand the question,
Yes.
but are you a natural writer? Do you like to write?
I used to, I'd say decades ago, and I hadn't really written like this, and that's probably partly why it took me 3 years to do it. Yeah,
Right,
I put
right.
my skill as I went.
Okay, last question, Heather. And it's a Proustian nightmare for you. I'm just kidding. Well, that's a little
Okay.
inside joke for us. She was like, you don't have one of those, like, what's your favorite color question? Like, no. But before we go, could you offer just, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I don't know why. Could you offer one piece of advice to our listeners who feel stuck in their current situation, be it their career, personal growth, or just navigating the challenges of today's incredibly fun world?
Yes, I'll go back to what's in my U. Spend some time looking at a list of values and picking out which ones speak to you and really understanding who you are. Start there. Start within yourself, know your values, and then read the book, and you'll get more tips.
To read the book. I know it's on Amazon. Where else is it?
Yeah, anywhere, any retailer online. It's also the audiobook came out this week, so it's available on, you know, iTunes and Apple, whatever, and everywhere you can listen to an audiobook.
And if they want to know more about you, where can they find you? Go to Hotwire or where do I go?
Yeah, hotwireglobal.com is the Hotwire website. There's info about me there and all about our great business and clients.
Heather Kernahan is the CEO of the aforementioned Hotwire. She is Canadian. She's fun, and she wrote a great book, and you need to go get it. Heather, I really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for joining me right here in the virtual lounge.
Thank you.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit PRAfterHours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.